Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point, Disgraced. Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein is going down in the flames of his sexual harassment scandal. More and more women coming out, big names now, saying he came after them. Using his power, promising success, stripping, threatening, pushing for sex, taking it. In chilling audio from the NYPD, you can hear him at his game, coercing a model, aggressive. Hollywood was quiet for years. Now the silence is breaking, and not just in Hollywood. This hour on Point, Harvey Weinstein, sexual harassment, and what it takes to stop it. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. What do you hear in the Weinstein story? Does it sound familiar? After Roger Ailes and Bill Cosby and Bill O'Reilly and more, what's the way to stop this? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining us now from Los Angeles is Rebecca Keegan, Hollywood correspondent for Vanity Fair. She's been covering the Weinstein scandal. Rebecca, thank you very much for joining us today.
Hi, Tom. Happy to be here.
And joining me from Washington is Alawe Izadi, pop culture writer for The Washington Post. Her most recent piece is headlined, Sexual Harassment and Rape Accusations Pile Up Against Harvey Weinstein. You can link to that at our website, onpointradio.org. Alawe, thank you very much for joining us as well.
Thanks for having me.
Can you just remind us of this gusher that came out yesterday? The Times first started reporting this at the end of last week, and it's been drip, drip, and yesterday another gusher. What came to the fore yesterday?
That's right. So yesterday, the New Yorker published its piece in which numerous women came again on the record to describe in their own words tales of sexual harassment, coercion, and also three women, two of whom were on the record, said that Weinstein raped them. And this was written by Ronan Farrow. And after some of those women were actresses, some of them had been aspiring actresses and had gotten out of the industry. Soon after that piece was published, about an hour later, the New York Times followed up with another piece in which the biggest names, Gwyneth Paltrow, Angelina Jolie, also came forward and said that they had also been sexually harassed by Harvey Weinstein. And that story also includes some tales that are really difficult, with a lot of details that are difficult to read. But the fact that especially Gwyneth Paltrow coming forward and saying this also happened to her, she had been considered kind of the first lady of Miramax, had won an Oscar for Shakespeare in Love. That won the Best Picture in 1999. That was kind of Weinstein's big upset, big coup, that he won the Best Picture for that movie. And that she was saying even she had been a victim of his bullying and harassment. That kind of broke everything open. And this follows Sunday, where the Weinstein Company fired him.
Here's model and actress Zoe Brock telling the BBC today that she was a victim of sexual harassment by Harvey Weinstein in a hotel room in Cannes, France, 1997.
He walked into the other part of the suite and came back pretty quickly naked.
What did you say to him?
I can't remember what I said. I just remember what he said. He said that he wanted a massage. Could I give him a massage? And I did not want to do that. And he asked if he could give me a massage. And this is sort of where things get a little bit weird, is I didn't know what to do. And I felt that letting him maybe touch me a little bit might placate him enough to sort of get me out of there somehow. I just don't really know what I was thinking.
One of many. Zoe Brock talking there with the BBC. Rebecca Keegan, I want to put this in a Hollywood context with you in just a moment, but Alawe, give us a sense of the pattern here. I mean, there's just one report. There seem to be so many. What's the pattern? What sort of instances of harassment, assault, rape? What are we talking about? How did it go?
Sorry.
Alawe, please.
So. Yeah. So over the decades, we're hearing these stories come out over many, many years, and they all follow a similar pattern in which Weinstein, under the pretense of meeting actresses and other people for matters of business, would lure them into a private space. So whether that's come to my hotel suite, and when the woman arrives, there's a lot of other people there, assistants, or come to the office. You'll also be meeting with a female executive. But then the assistants leave, everyone else in the room leaves, and all of a sudden a woman finds herself alone with Harvey Weinstein. Oftentimes these stories, they follow the pattern where he's shows up or comes in and out of the bathroom where he's wearing just a robe and maybe nothing else. He's exposing himself. There are a lot of requests for massages, to watch him shower. And in the instances of rape, one of the women described agreeing to give him a massage. And it was at that point that he assaulted her. So again, we're seeing that pattern. And then also, we also see a pattern in these stories that the women that do push back or tell other people after the fact, he tries to retaliate against them and threatens them. And some actresses said that they felt their careers were hurt by that.
Rebecca Keegan, in Los Angeles, there's been a kind of a sense of shame coming out of Hollywood this week, that this is more or less known, maybe not in this kind of detail, but for a long time, and people haven't spoken up about it. There's sort of a we're feeling a shame fest coming. Do you see that there?
Absolutely. I think it's interesting. There are many, many people who had the sort of vague sense that Harvey Weinstein was a creep. There's a difference between having that vague sense and hearing with specificity on the record evidence of someone being a serial predator, which is what the town is sort of grappling with this week. I have to say, as someone who had interviewed Harvey Weinstein mm-hmm. many times, mm-hmm. and who has sort of followed his career, talked to him about the independent film business, talked to him about his Oscar campaigns.
I mean, he's huge.
He's physically he's huge.
But I mean, in Hollywood, the gigantic figure, so many Oscars.
He's a gigantic man, which figures in many of the women's accounts of what they experience, his sheer size. But in terms of his status in the industry, and in particular in the award season in the Film Academy, he's massive. And I think people are grappling with the notion that not only was he kind of a jerk, which was universally acknowledged in town, but he was a serial predator of young women.
So at this point, I mean, we've got names coming out: Meryl Streep, Kate Winslet, Glenn Close speaking out on Harvey Weinstein. You've got George Clooney and others. Is there a sense that people were shackled by fear or ambition from speaking up about or against this man's behavior, Rebecca?
Well, I think one thing you have to look at is what Hollywood had done previously when a powerful man was accused of sexual harassment, or in the case of Roman Polanski, when a powerful man actually served jail time in connection with a case, he pled guilty to the charge of unlawful sex with a minor. Roman Polanski has a movie coming out later this year from Sony Pictures Classics. He was given an Oscar. He was at the Cannes Film Festival in May. There was no evidence that anything bad happened to Roman Polanski because of what he did. The woman who accused him, who was 13 years old at the time and who I've interviewed multiple times, has said only bad things came from her coming forward. She was went through horrible legal trial. She was hounded by the media for decades. So if you're a young actress and you look at how Hollywood has dealt with issues like this in the past, why would you think that coming forward would in any way, A, accomplish anything good, and B, do anything but torpedo your prospects in the industry and potentially your livelihood?
Especially when it was in a way kind of an open joke. All the way back at the 2013 Oscars, you may have heard this or remember it, but actor Seth MacFarlane was hosting, and here he was right after announcing the women's nominees for Best Performances by an Actress in a Supporting Role. MacFarlane.
Congratulations, you five ladies no longer have to pretend to be attracted to Harvey Weinstein.
Har, har, har. And there's finger pointing here. You've got, Ben Affleck has taken some heat Rose McGowan, who said, look, you knew and you weren't speaking up. What about the men of Hollywood and what they knew? Was this a club? Was this hardy har har, Rebecca?
You know, it's interesting. Some of the men who have spoken out, including George Clooney, have said that they did not have any idea that this was going on. I think what a
Is
lot
that
of
credible?
People, I think you have to look at it on a case-by-case basis. basis. I think what a lot of people knew about Harvey Weinstein was that he had a tendency to use abusive language with people who worked for him. He also had a tendency to pay late and less than was promised. These were the kind of things that people talked about. And he was known, according to many men, to cheat on his wife. The aspect that many of the men who've come forward said they did not know was that he was having apparently non-consensual encounters. I think they knew, they said that he was a cad. They did not know the extent to which he was using his power to hurt women.
Now everybody's talking about it. Monday late night host Seth Meyers invited his writers, Amber Ruffin, Ali Hoare, Jenny Hagel, to weigh in on the allegations of sexual harassment against Harvey Weinstein.
Seth, how did you feel when you heard the allegations?
I was disgusted and shocked. How did you feel?
I was disgusted and not shocked.
I was disgusted and shocked that it took this long to become a story.
I was disgusted and shocked that people were shocked. Seth, we want to start by applauding the women who went on the record to detail Harvey Weinstein's terrible behavior.
So far, we know Weinstein reached cash settlements with 8 women. And where there are 8, there are always more.
And whatever details you hear, just know that means there are worse details we haven't heard.
They're in a kind of comic setting, but not really very funny. Actor and comedian Tom Arnold condemned Weinstein's actions, talking with The Warp yesterday. Here, he's a survivor himself of sexual abuse.
It's gut-wrenching. It's awful. And, he should be in prison, obviously. And hopefully he will be in prison.
Tom Arnold talking with The Rap there. Wow. Elahe, is this different from, we've got this parade now. Bill Cosby, we'd heard so much about. Roger Ailes, big guy at Fox. Bill O'Reilly, who was there. You can go right on down the line. We've had so many names. Do you have a sense of this being a different moment in the long, ugly story of sexual harassment?
I think the past few years has seen an increased awareness just throughout the culture, within popular culture and society at large, as to as to sexual harassment, sexual assault, and increased awareness around it. And I think now that these women have come forward, not only will more women potentially come forward talking about Weinstein, but also men and women coming forward and talking about their own experiences.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Hi everyone, this is Tom. Just a quick message before we get back to the show. I'm inviting you to stick around at the end of this podcast for an excerpt from another NPR show, Only a Game. Here's why. This weekend, Only a Game is examining power and corruption at the NCAA after the FBI arrested 10 people, including 4 college basketball coaches, for allegedly accepting bribes. College players and their families are vulnerable. Listen for a sneak preview of Only a Game's episode, Power, Money, and Corruption, the Exploitation of College Athletes, at the end of our show. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the still exploding Harvey Weinstein sexual harassment scandal and the bigger picture of sexual harassment and how to stop it. Elahe Izadeh is with us. Culture writer, pop culture writer for The Washington Post. She's been covering all this. Rebecca Keegan is with us from Los Angeles, Hollywood correspondent for Vanity Fair. She's been covering this. Jennifer Droback joins us in just a moment, expert on sexual harassment. You can join us as well. Can you believe the scale of this Weinstein mess? Can you believe how long it took for Harvey Weinstein to be really called out on it? Is there a culture of acceptance here, or of fear of power? Are you not surprised? Does this sound just too familiar to you? And have you been through this kind of harassment nightmare? What would it take to stop it, to really cut it down? Among those coming out in reports yesterday saying, yeah, I was in that parade that Harvey Weinstein went after Gwyneth Paltrow. She was cast in his Shakespeare in Love. Big breakthrough for her, Oscar for her. Here she was.
For saints have hands that pilgrims' hands do touch, and palm to palm is holy palmer's kiss.
Have not saints lips, and holy palmers too?
Aye, pilgrim. Lips that they must use in prayer.
Oh, then, dear saint, let lips do what hands do. I pray. Grant thou, lest faith turn to despair.
And at the Oscars, tons of thanks to Harvey Weinstein. Thank more often than God, someone said in the last couple of days. It was just a montage of people responding. We got Rachel Portman, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Gwyneth Paltrow, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Bob and Harvey Weinstein and all the great team at Miramax. Bless you guys.
Producers of Emma, Harvey Weinstein and everyone at Miramax.
Harvey Weinstein, Bob Weinstein, God bless them.
Harvey Weinstein, who believed in us and made this movie.
I'd like to thank Harvey Weinstein.
The other guy that we really need to thank, though, is Harvey Weinstein.
Everyone who had involved in Chicago. There's so many people, Rob Marshall, Harvey Weinstein.
Thank you, Harvey Weinstein, for putting your heart behind this film.
Thanks upon thanks upon thanks. But here's NYPD sting operation audio. This was Harvey Weinstein. He admitted to groping Filipino-Italian model Ambra Batilana Gutierrez. She wore wire. Here's just a little sense. It's not cool.
I'm a famous guy.
I'm feeling very uncomfortable
please
right now.
Please come in now and 1 minute. And if you want to leave when the guy comes with my
jacket,
yesterday
you can go. You touched my breast.
Oh, please, I'm sorry. Just come on. I'm used to that.
Are you used to that?
Yes, come in.
No, but I'm not used to that.
I won't do it again. Come on. Sit here.
Come in. Come on. Come in. Come on. And we know where way too often that went. Rebecca Elahi, please stand by. Lots of callers here, and Jennifer Drawback joins us in just a moment. Susan in Winchester, Massachusetts. Susan, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make the comment that I would venture a guess that if you asked many, many women who have been in business careers, that they've had shades of similar situations with men who are more powerful than they are. So I think it's an instance of power and abuse of power. And the thing that concerns me is I don't want the reaction to be something that Mike Pence, our vice president, has said, which is he won't do a business meeting without his wife there, because then that penalizes the women. So I just want to make sure that people understand that women who are less powerful than men frequently get in situations like this. And it can't be the answer to that will hurt their careers.
What's the answer, Susan, then? Without going into, isolation chambers, what's the answer here? That shouldn't be necessary.
Right. So, one answer is to make sure that we are working on making an equal society of women in power in all positions, money, government, and whatever. I think a more equality will help write this. Secondly, positions that are women and men working together in government, in business, in the movie industry should be able to be approached maybe in a public space and no one ever worry that anything but the business is going to happen. And then an open culture that if something did happen, it would not be hurtful to the victim to report it.
Yeah, those are all great, and we will look at that and more. Susan, I really appreciate your call here. Of course, we've got all kinds of cultural signaling on this, and some of it that came right from what has become the top. I mean, here's President Trump on Saturday on his way to North Carolina to a fundraiser there, fielding a question about the sexual harassment allegations on Harvey Weinstein. Here's what he had to say.
I've known Harvey Weinstein for a long time. I'm not at all surprised to see it.
Okay, but this was the famous tape of in 2005 of Donald Trump caught on tape with a very lewd conversation about women with television host Billy Bush during the filming of that famous, infamous now episode of Access Hollywood.
You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the. I can do anything.
Grab them by the wow. Genitals. Rebecca Keegan, please stand by there. And Elahi Izadi, Jennifer Drawback joins us right now from Santa Cruz, California. She's professor of law at Indiana University and very deeply versed in sexual harassment. Jennifer Drawback, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
What do you make of the outlines of the Harvey Weinstein story in the context of all the research you've done on sexual harassment and how it unfolds.
It's classic. It's a repetition of what we've been watching over and over again. And the fact that you brought it home, earlier someone said that, is this a shame fest? And we could vilify Hollywood and point the bony finger, but here is the most powerful man in the world elected by the people, and he's also a predator. So, until we start dealing with this, we're going to continue to see these types of cases.
What does dealing with it mean, though? What does that mean? You've got power imbalances in this world. Our first caller, Susan, says, look, until you've got more equal power in these environments, you've got this vulnerability. What does dealing with it mean, Jennifer?
Of course, Susan's correct that we need equality in the workplace, but it's more than that. And dealing with it takes a variety of actions. What you're doing right now by having the show is dealing with it. We're talking about it. That's really important. It's also important for women to come forward and speak truth to power, say what's going on. But it's also important for the men in our society to support women in the moment or later on by either saying something to the harasser, supporting the woman in coming forward. We also need to approach it, the legal system, and make some changes. We have some really great laws out there. A few could be better, but we also need to improve. The fact that these settlements are confidential and that women are under gag orders, that needs to change. We need sunshine laws. If you want to keep the settlement amount confidential, fine, but the underlying facts should be public. And that's just one of the changes we could make to the law to help move our culture forward.
Elahi, there were reports of lots of settlements in the Harvey Weinstein case, and those typically came with, here's the money, but you can never talk about this if you take it.
That's right. And one of the most striking pieces of that connected to that is involving the actress Rose McGowan, which she reportedly also had a settlement. But she has been sending out cryptic tweets and messages, not exactly naming what had happened and who was involved. But it's very clear from context that she's referring to Weinstein. And she's coming forward and saying all of this, even though she couldn't technically speak on the record. And the audio that you played earlier from the New York police sting. That woman also has declined, says that she cannot comment on the record. There are reports that there was also a settlement with her as well. And as the Times reported, there's at least 8 settlements, but that could very well be the tip of the iceberg.
We had a press conference just yesterday with attorney Gloria Allred and former actress Louisette Geis. Described being lured to a hotel room by Weinstein in 2008 at the Sundance Film Festival to pitch a screenplay. She says he grabbed her arm, pressured her to watch him masturbate, and promised her a 3-picture deal and to greenlight her script. She later left the movie industry. Here she was yesterday.
Even though my parents raised me to be a strong and independent woman, I never, ever, ever thought that I would have any chance to stand up for myself against Harvey Weinstein. I knew if I said anything that he would have a ton of lawyers on my back, and no one would trust me over him.
Richard in Gainesville, Georgia. Richard, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom, and thanks for taking my call and also the people with you.
Yeah.
I would like to express that I think that the Harvey Weinstein case is a continuation of the Hollywood culture going, at least in my lifetime, as far back as protecting the fact that Raymond Burr was homosexual, that other people and other actors or actresses who acted out in public or private parties, that the PR people were to quash that. And with this type of culture going on and continuing, I can see people falling into a trap or...
Who's falling into the trap here, though? The women or Harvey Weinstein? Who do you mean, Richard?
Oh, the women, number one, and Harvey Weinstein, number two, because the older moguls of independent or land, Hollywood, was made up of multiple stations and ownerships of actors and actresses, that that was probably going on as well.
Hey, Richard, let us pick it up. Rebecca Keegan, this is your beat. There's been a history here for a long time, but does Harvey Weinstein stand out as different in scale and scope from what we know so far? Is this really Hollywood culture? Bingo, there you are.
Well, I think the point your caller makes about this kind of Hollywood omerta of about behavior
and say nothing
by public figures, I think that's a real thing, and I think that was, there's no question that was in the minds probably of many of the women who were alleged to have been Harvey Weinstein's victims. There is a sense, particularly among Hollywood women that I have interviewed, that you do not complain. You don't complain about the handsy producer at the after party. You don't complain about making less money than your male co-star. You don't complain about your agent telling you to lose weight, because if you do, you are labeled difficult or crazy and you lose work. So, I mean, there has been bad behavior in Hollywood, since Charlie Chaplin rolled into town. It is a century in the making, and there has always been an understanding, especially among women who endured it, that you just kind of endured it until very recently.
And it's just kind of been out there, barely beneath the surface. 2012 episode of NBC's 30 Rock, this quick line here, but referenced Harvey Weinstein's reputation for sexual misconduct. You've got Jenna Maroney, played by Jane Krakowski, discouraged by a friend here from antagonizing Weird Al Yankovic after he parodied her new song. But the Weinstein reference comes right in there, right in 30 Rock.
Don't do it, J-Mo. You don't want to mess with Weird Al.
Oh, please. I'm not afraid of anyone in show business. I turned down intercourse with Harvey Weinstein on no less than 3 occasions out of 5.
Okay, and there it is, and on rolled the show. Peter in Brewster, Massachusetts. Peter, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Interesting topic. How to stop such horrible, unprofessional actions, and male, not just a female issue where, it could be men on men and women on women. It yep. Must be a problem everywhere. But specifically, what is the statute of limitations on these types of things, and how what can be used, what laws can be used to curb that?
Jennifer, that's a good question for you. These go back to the 90s at least. Does that mean forget about legal recourse?
Not necessarily. The Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act has a provision that if there is an ongoing pattern of behavior, then the employer can be sued for failing to stop years of the ongoing pattern in practice. And so you could get a group of women together to sue for a period of time that would date back before the statute of limitations would ordinarily cut it off. So normally a woman has 90 days from the date of the last incident of discrimination, and then there's a period of time for investigation, but and then there's another 180 days or maybe more time if there is a state equivalent statute that prohibits discrimination in employment. So it really depends on the state and the circumstances. But because this is a suit that comes to affect employers, then you may be able to scoop in prior behavior as part of the pattern in practice.
But that would be suing the company for money rather than bringing charges that would mean potentially jail time.
Well, there are two ways to go. Number one is suing the company, because under Title VII, and this is how it's different from California civil rights law, you cannot sue the alleged perpetrator. You can only sue the company. Whereas in California, you can also sue the predator. Now, that's civil law. There's also criminal law, and there are statutes of limitations, but for assault and battery and various crimes. And those would be prosecuted not by the women themselves, but by the local district attorneys or by federal prosecutors if it's a federal crime. but most of this is state crimes. And so they'd have to go to the police, to the district attorney, and cooperate with the state in filing charges against the perpetrator. But I think that an important part here is that the companies are continuing to shield these predators because it's in their financial best interest and incentive to do so. Because these cases, they settle quietly. They settle for an amount where the rainmaker predator is making so much money that it's cheaper for the company to pay off the injured survivors than it is to fire the rainmaker.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about the still exploding Harvey Weinstein sexual harassment scandal and the bigger picture of sexual harassment and how to stop it with Jennifer Drobak. She's from Indiana University, expert in all this, professor of law there. Rebecca Keegan is with us, Hollywood correspondent for Vanity Fair, with us from L.A. Elahi Izadi is with us, pop culture writer for The Washington Post, and maybe pop culture, but it goes to a deep issue that has affected many women. The details of the Harvey Weinstein story continuing just to gush out. You can join us this hour. What is it going to take to shut this down? Can that be done? Do we need timely, open reporting of these cases so they don't get covered up and repeated? And can we use the momentum, the outrage over these cases, Roger Ailes at Fox, Bill O'Reilly, Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, to change things? A little more of that, just a bit of that NYPD wire tape where he's going after the model Ambra Batilana Gutierrez, saying he'd end their friendship if she didn't come into his hotel room.
I will never do another thing to you. 5 minutes. Don't ruin your friendship with me for 5 minutes.
Don't ruin your friendship with me for 5 minutes. Talk about a power play. He put out an apology over the weekend, said he's going to be better. That's not cutting much ice at the moment. On NBC's Megyn Kelly today, and of course she had her own stories of being sexually harassed at Fox. Roger Ailes, TV reporter who wasn't even an actress, but TV reporter Lauren Savan, who was allegedly sexually harassed by Weinstein in 2007, said she did not accept his statement of apology.
Enough is enough with this guy. There was no remorse. There was no even acknowledgement of the type of behavior that was going on. I mean, if he did this with me, who's just a stranger who is not an actress in Hollywood and doesn't need anything from him, I can only imagine how many other women something like this has happened to.
A reporter there, Lisa in Wellesley, Massachusetts. Lisa, thank you. Lisa, thank you for calling. You're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
One of the main things I think needs to happen in order for us to change this conversation and maybe educate people on this topic is we keep referring, a lot of people, including myself at times, refer to this kind of behavior as bad behavior or deplorable behavior even. You know, the president referred to this as locker room talk. But what's important is to call it what it is, which is it's criminal behavior. It's sexual assault. It's assault. It's sexual harassment, as you keep mentioning. But we need to use the terminology that separates it from general unprofessional behavior that happens in the workplace, because it's way beyond that.
Yeah, it's a good point. And it wasn't only back when the Access Hollywood tape came out, but just this last weekend, as the Weinstein story was breaking, we had President Trump. He was asked about the video that came out last year in the context of the Weinstein case. He was asked about that video in which he made lewd remarks to Billy Bush about groping women. And he had, again, this to say.
That's locker room. That's locker room. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jennifer Drobak, what about the language that has been used to talk about these cases?
Well, the language is important because it does a couple of things. First, it minimizes the systemic problem, and that is it's a problem for women and it's a problem for minorities who are also harassed in various ways, who are trying to move forward, to move ahead, to get jobs, to be productive for a nation. And so when you characterize it, as Lisa suggested, inappropriately as bad behavior, you denude it from the really systemic discriminatory nature of it. And secondly, when you characterize it as bad behavior, you minimize it as suggested. And it really takes it into something where the women are looked at with suspicion and askance because they can't take a joke, or they're making a mountain out of a molehill. This didn't really amount to that much. And obviously, the details that are coming out now demonstrate this is sexual assault. This is criminal behavior. And this happens to children in schools by the hands of their teachers. I would take issue with Rebecca's comment that Hollywood is special. There's nothing special about Hollywood. This is happening in every industry. I could talk about the securities industries, where employees have to sign arbitration clauses as in part of their employment contract, so that they have to bargain away their civil rights to sue if they're sexually harassed or assaulted on the job. So this
and not just in securities. We heard we had Gretchen Carlson, who of course was the TV host at Fox with the Roger Ailes problem. Writing this week, look, you've got to end these arbitration clauses because then, you know, it's just all hush-hush and people don't know about it. They don't have that other legal recourse and it stays invisible. You got Gwyneth Paltrow saying this week, we're at a point of time when women need to send a clear message that this is over. This way of treating women ends now. Rebecca, do you really think Hollywood's special in the prevalence of this? I mean, we've got the Bill Cosby case, over 50 accusers, and he's in court. But I guess it's not just Hollywood. You know, there's Roger Ailes, 10 accusers, Bill O'Reilly, a half dozen, and big settlements.
No, I don't think Hollywood's special. I didn't say Hollywood's special. Okay. I said Hollywood had a code of omerta about talking publicly about certain topics. I do think one thing that's interesting about the way business is done in Hollywood is that a lot of these women were not employees of Weinstein. They were independent contractors. Actresses get hired for a role. So for an actress, she has a meeting with someone like Harvey Weinstein set up by her agency. Mm-hmm. Who she talks to if something goes wrong is not always obvious. We know women who work for companies sometimes go to the human resources department and have nothing done. In the case of these actresses, many of them would go back to a manager or an agent who might full well have been aware of the situation he was sending her into.
But that agent or manager, or they may need Harvey Weinstein the next time, and they know that.
Precisely. I mean, the agents and managers were doing a ton of business with the Weinstein Company. They had many, many clients to think about. They had films they were packaging. What is the incentive for them to advocate for a client who may not yet be making them any money against a studio mogul who is the source of a lot of income?
Jennifer?
She's raising a really important point that also that Title VII really does protect only employees. Now, there's an aspect of it where if the employer principal tolerates the sexual harassment of employees by clients, they can be held liable for ratification. But we do see a serious gap here where independent contractors don't have a lot of recourse except through criminal law. And if the behavior doesn't rise to the level of being severe criminal behavior, or if it's a he said, she said case, or he said, where the prosecutor may not feel that there's enough evidence to move forward, there may not be a civil avenue of liability. And that's an area where the law really does need to evolve.
Not to mention the kind of blacklisting that can go on. Gretchen Carlson talks about that. I want to look at that. Willie in Oklahoma City. Willie, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Tom.
Hi. What do you see, Willie? What's your experience? What have you observed?
My wife works in the oil and gas industry, and I'm going to be kind of vague because there would be recriminations if it was known who she was in this case. But
anyway,
she just turned down $75,000 offered above another company, because the man she interviewed with, she knew that he was going to be a problem later. This is endemic. There's nothing the women can do about it. The oil and gas industry is extremely small. Everybody knows everybody. if any of these women, not just my wife, and she's young, she's been working in the industry for 8 years, if anybody found out, they'd be blackballed. They'd never work again.
Willie, how did she know? By this potential employer's reputation or just by the vibe that she got when she interviewed?
Because women, Tom, come on, man.
Well,
women know.
Yeah.
I mean, women know when a guy's going to be a problem. And when, the thing about it that disturbs me, really, is that she is not as disturbed as I am. She has lived with this. It's like white privilege with African Americans. I mean, they have lived with this all their life. They're conditioned to it. She accepts it as part of the way it is.
Well, and she said no, even though they were going to pay $75K over what over the alternative.
She took another job at $75,000 less.
Wow.
Because she didn't want the hassle. She didn't want the problems.
I mean, we know it's all over the place. There's oil and gas. Gretchen Carlson says, you know, after she filed her lawsuit against Roger Ailes in Fox News, she says she felt alone. But she, after she told that story, she writes, thousands of women, police officers, teachers, oil rig operators, sports executives, military officers, engineers, waitresses, lawyers, secretaries, told her theirs. Jennifer, what about the blackballing problem? I mean, you would think when a woman goes through this, she's actually harassed or assaulted or raped, you name it, and came forward to name that, that is, I mean, first of all, it's justice, and second, it's a service to other women. But if you end up being blackballed and your career suffers, that is a crazy sword to hang over someone.
Right. We call that the revolving door, where a woman is forced to leave as part of a settlement, or she's forced out because the harassment is just so bad that to preserve her well-being and integrity and physical security, she has to leave. But that means that women don't advance in companies, that they don't get the higher salaries, as Willie just noted, that they don't get the training, they don't advance. And so they're just in this perpetual revolving door trying to get another job. And this is another sort of symptom of the greater systemic problem that we often don't address with these quick settlements, and that part of an action against a company may be a retaliation claim. But there's only so much you can do after the settlement. And then it comes to really the greater culture that we have to address this wherever there is a lack of transparency, wherever we're not holding people accountable, both men and women. This is not just the need for women to come forward, but it's men to do their part in creating a system, not just of equality, but of respect and dignity. How dare these men treat other human beings in this way? Now, part of the problem there is also people like Harvey Weinstein and Cosby and these people. Human beings are complex. They have talents. They have contributions to society, which we can't deny. But the point is that we cannot continue to excuse criminal and behavior and sexual assault simply to allow them to produce their creative genius, and or their, we could say this about neuroscientists or medical doctors or, you know, we could go to any industry and say the same thing.
We're staring straight at it. Janet in Baltimore. Janet, thank you for calling. You're on.
Hi. It may sound sarcastic, but these women who are alleging sexual harassment by Harvey Weinstein and the Cosby accusers, they're kind of lucky because they had it done to them by a big-name person, which when they made their allegations, it caused other women to recognize their harasser.
Do you have a different story, Janet?
Pardon me?
Do you have a different story in those terms?
Yes. Many years ago, I was raped and sexually harassed by different males, including on my job. And in 1993, when I reported this stuff to some women counselors at a community college. I ended up being thrown in a mental hospital and kicked out of the community college.
Wow. That so, is a hard road to hoe. And without the ballyhoo that comes when it's a big name, Janet, that's a rough story. Our time is so short, forgive me, but we hear that circumstance. I mean, Rebecca, in a way, it is true, at least in Hollywood, once you say something, it's going to get a lot of attention. It's not just ultimately, once it comes out, people pay attention to it, I should say. Do you think it changes Hollywood?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel so sorry for women like Janet, which there are many, many who have mm-hmm. similar stories to these Hollywood women. Every case is unique. I do think when women in the public eye share their stories, it makes it easier for women in without fame to be taken seriously.
Jennifer?
And I would just add, this is Alahe.
Alahe,
excuse
me.
Add to that, that it not only opens up that conversation for women, but raises awareness among men who may not be aware that these are common experiences, such as the previous caller talking about his wife and his shock and outrage.
I mean, Jennifer, if you had central advice on how to put the blocks to this, we got a minute left, what would you say?
Absolutely, report. Gather your friends, gather male supporters. If there's any documentary evidence, if there's any other kinds of witness evidence, this needs to be discussed. This needs to be reported. And the more transparency and the more discussion we have, the more discussion even of sexuality. Part of the reason that these predators can exploit the way they do is because sexuality is a taboo topic. So if we remove the shame, we move forward our culture and our national productivity for everyone.
Big case still coming out around us. A big name, not the first name to be associated with this. And as our callers are reminding us, this is by no means exclusive to the rich and famous. It can go all the way down the line of our working world and well beyond. I want to thank all three of you for being with us and helping us look at this. Alahe Azadeh with The Washington Post, thank you so much for your work and for joining us today, Alahe.
Thank you.
Rebecca Keegan, Hollywood correspondent for Vanity Fair. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
There in L.A. And Jennifer Droback from in Santa Cruz, California today, professor of law, Indiana University. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, thank you for joining us. Good luck. Be strong. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Hi, it's Tom. Thanks for sticking around for this preview from Only a Game special report, Power, Money, and Corruption, the Exploitation of College Athletes, available this weekend on your NPR station or podcast app.
I'm Bill Littlefield. This week on WBUR and NPR's Only a Game, we dedicate the entire hour to one question. Should college athletes be paid?
Maybe you've heard. Big-time college sports are in trouble.
Well, it's about as bad as it gets. It's not the NCAA knocking on the door, but the FBI.
The FBI is charging 10 people with fraud and corruption.
We all know this system is corrupt. Every one of us knows it.
If there's going to be a death penalty, it needs to be to amateurism. Give amateurism the death penalty, then you have a chance at creating a system free of a lot of this corruption.
But the problems with the NCAA didn't begin on September 26 when those charges were announced.
The story of the NCAA is a story of power, money, and corruption. It's been going on for a long time, and it's the athletes and their families who get hurt.
I wake up in the middle of the night dreaming that I walk in the door and he's hanging. Or he shot himself because he's that depressed. You put trust in these universities. You trust them with your kid on and off the court. And once you're damaged good, they just kick you to the curb.
We've spent the past few months trying to figure out how the NCAA and amateurism went wrong. And can the system be fixed, or does it need to be dismantled?
Why in the world would we have football be a part of a college? What does that have to do with education?
Litigation hasn't worked. Organization hasn't worked. Legislation, there's no way it's going to work. So the only thing that was really left was competition.
I think we are in the midst of the tipping point. The question is,
how far will it tip?